Hello and welcome to Podcraft. It's the podcast about podcasting brought to you by the folks here at thepodcasthost.com. That's just me stuffing in some keywords for when Google eventually recognise audio in their search. So my name's Matthew McLean, and I've got a wee interview for you this week. It's with one of our clients. He's an employment lawyer. The last time I sat at a table with an employment lawyer, I ended up losing my job. I didn't really never been sacked. Only made redundant multiple times due to the economy in Scotland. But Jack, how you doing?
I'm not bad, thank you, Matthew. Not bad at all. Thanks for having me on your podcast today.
Not a problem. So there's a good reason I wanted to get you on. So you guys at Blackadders, you come in here to record your podcast and we edit it and put it out there for you. And you're in your second season now. So you recorded your first season at the tail end of last year, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right.
Employment lawyer in your pocket. So to me, I wanted to get you on because it's, I think, a great example of a tangible physical business doing a podcast and having success with it. So in podcasting, especially in business podcasting, it's tempting to see this as a space where people in the digital business world go to to market themselves. But you guys have had some great success. And I was just sitting down the first week you came back in to record, looking through some of the reviews you'd had on iTunes, some really good feedback. So I just wanted to catch up with you and find out, you know, get a bit more in-depth background about the project as a whole.
Yeah, of course.
First things first, like, do you just want to tell me a wee bit about what you do at Blackadders here in Dundee?
Yeah, of course. So we work... myself and Simon, we work in the employment law team, so we are the ones who are doing the podcasts. And what we do is we represent clients, predominantly employers, so businesses, small businesses, larger businesses, and help them out with all a whole raft of employment law issues that they might have with their staff, be that from things such as disciplinary hearings and grievance to more heavy-duty stuff like employment tribunal representation or dealing with transfer of undertakings when businesses get sold and the employees have to transfer over to the business that buys a business. We also represent individuals as well, advising on settlement agreements, negotiating exit packages for senior people, and even tribunal representation for individuals too. So that's a little bit about what we do in the employment law team, Matthew.
So the big question, that's a very busy schedule. You've got a lot on your plate. So what makes you come away from it all to sit down and record a podcast? Why did you make that decision back last year?
Well, that's an interesting one. I mean, podcasts are something that we were aware of. However, it was only really when we met your colleague, Colin Gray from the podcast host. We met him at a chamber event last year, and we're pretty impressed by what he had to say. I think he was doing a presentation just telling us about the podcast host, what you guys did. And that's really, we decided, yeah, that sounds quite good. That's pretty impressive. So why can't we give that a go and maybe make it work for us?
So it was Colin. It was quite. We'll have to let him out more often.
You will indeed.
If he's converting that many people, I didn't know he was getting himself out there, having that success.
But he was indeed.
So you were won over to the idea of doing a podcast, and it's convenient for you being here in Dundee because we're based here too. We've got the space here, so you guys were coming in to record the show. What was it like at first, just coming in and sitting down and recording your initial episodes?
I'm not going to lie, it was pretty weird, Matthew. It was quite strange having the headsets on and being in a sort of recording studio. Felt like a radio DJ or something. It was a little bit alien for me and the other guys. I know from speaking to Simon and Andy that they found it quite a strange atmosphere, and it did take us a little bit of time to adjust and to get used to it. But really what we've sort of followed your advice and Colin's advice, just to treat it as much like you can as ignoring all the gadgets and the gidgets in the room and just try and have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So jumping forward to now, you're now very experienced podcasters. You've got a season under your belt. What sort of response has the podcast had so far on all the various sort of platforms that you're on?
we've had a really good response, Matthew. We've been really, I suppose, surprised by the level. We've had quite a good bit of interaction with people on Twitter. We've used a hashtag, and we tend to tweet in advance of our podcast being released, and also after it's been released on iTunes. And we've had a lot of good feedback to the podcast on Twitter. We've picked up some new followers. We even picked up some new clients on the back of the podcast. Remarkably, we're based up in Dundee here in Scotland, but we've had people from as far afield as Liverpool listening to our podcasts and even giving us feedback. So that's been really good for us to get that kind of far-reaching geographic exposure that realistically maybe wouldn't otherwise have had.
And did that surprise you, the sort of level of feedback and interaction that you've had from the show?
It did. I mean, if I was to put my hand on my heart, I was a little bit sceptical about podcasting going into it, although, you know, really impressed with what Colin had to say about it. Wasn't convinced it was necessarily something that would fit with a law firm. I mean, I think the general perception of lawyers is that they're dull, and most people might reasonably rather put forks in their eyes than listen to a couple of lawyers podcasting. So I was surprised to see that we were getting decent levels of feedback and interaction. And that's what ultimately prompted us to go into season two.
And did you get, you touched on this, but some opportunities came through the podcast. Have you had any business from it, or, you know?
Yeah, we have had business. Obviously, we're not allowed to name names and stuff like that because of the nature of our work, but we've had business and money in the bank. We've seen an increased turnover since we've done the podcasts. And although it's hard to, you know, to say, oh, that's absolutely due to the podcast, but we have had business, so it's definitely been a factor. We've also really had I mentioned earlier, Twitter, that's our main, for the employment law team, that's our main sort of platform that we use for social media marketing. And we've seen not only increased followers, but a lot of interaction with our podcasts and our hashtag employment lawyer in your pocket, ELYIP. So that's been great. Really impressed with that aspect of it as well.
In terms of creating your episodes, again, you've admitted yourself that it's maybe not on at a surface level the most entertaining subject in the world. So you've, I edit your podcast, so I know this already, but you make attempts to make it very entertaining. You do make it very entertaining. How do you go about doing that, if you could tell the listener a wee bit about it? And, you know, was this something that you'd put quite a lot of planning into beforehand?
We put a bit of planning into sort of our topics and the sort of episode structure, but as to the actual content of each episode, not so much thought goes into that, if I'm being honest. You know, I've worked with Simon for 8 years now, and we know each other pretty well, and so really working closely with each other for that number of years, we kind of just come in here, and how we appear on the podcast and how we interact with one another, it's really just, that's how we are in the office. There's a bit less swearing on the podcast, but, you know, that's, you know, we're not coming in artificial sort of, you know, we just speak to each other how we normally do and have a conversation about a certain chosen employment law topic. Should maybe do an X-rated one, hit the drink one day, but I don't know, maybe not for being released on iTunes.
Yeah, bonus content. Yes. Get a Patreon account. The episodes themselves, you do keep them quite short and sweet. Is that a stylistic choice just based on the fact that that's how long it takes to basically run through the thing on that particular episode, the topic that you want to cover?
Yep, it's a bit of that, and also a bit of sort of, you know, short and snappy, keeps them happy type thing. We were concerned, given the nature of our topics, that potentially if we rambled on for half an hour going into the real nitty-gritty of the legal points, I mean, some of our topics, you know, an employment lawyer could speak for an hour about them, but I certainly wouldn't listen to it for an hour, and I'd be surprised if HR managers or potential clients, you know, people that we're keen to have listening to our podcasts would be able to maintain attention for that level of time.
Yeah, I had a conversation about this with some of our academy members the other day. About we were talking about podcast lengths, and the general consensus, like when you've grown an audience, when you've got an audience, and you speak to them about your episode lengths, your loyal listeners will tend to say, you know, we'd rather hear from you for an hour or 2 hours, but that's an audience that you've won over. For new listeners scrolling through their phone looking for new podcasts, I think it's more appealing for them to see short episodes because it's less of a commitment for them to dip their toe in and just give you, you know, a shot of one full episode. And certainly if you're doing the job and, you know, that 10 minutes or whatever, then, you know, that's absolutely the right way to go.
Yeah, completely agree with that. And we've seemed to be able to sort of judge it quite well and cover enough of the information within the 10-minute slot. If we did a full hour of it, you know, we could maybe teach people everything there is to know about the employment topics. So maybe then we'd do ourselves out of business as well.
So what was the gist of your first season last year, and what are you doing in your season this year? Because you're podcasting in seasons, which means, and I'll ask you about this in a second, but it means you're kind of going hard at work on it and then getting a rest and then coming back. But what was the first and second season sort of focus?
So the first season was all to do with managing your workforce, and specifically we were focusing on disciplinary procedures. Regularly, we encounter businesses who come in to see us for advice, and they've maybe been taken to an employment tribunal by someone they've sacked, and they've not taken any advice, and they've gone about the procedure in the wrong manner, which is going to potentially result in them losing the case and getting hit with a big bill for compensation. So what we thought that we would do was to kind of translate some of the most common mistakes that we see people doing with disciplinaries and distilled that into 8 short bite-sized episodes to cover the main stages of a disciplinary procedure. So that's what season one was all about, Matthew.
And season two, what are you doing now?
Season two is a bit more, I suppose it's a bit more scattergun in the sense that after season one, we got some really good feedback from people, and it also went as far as, you know, some of the listeners on iTunes and Twitter were picking up on our outtakes from season one. Like what yourself and Colin were telling us at the start, it's good to have an ending to the podcast where you maybe invite feedback or you invite questions. And so we were really impressed that we got questions from some of our listeners, and we've really used that as the platform for building season two.
And have you found the season's approach to be beneficial rather than just maybe coming in here every single week and just with no particular direction? Do you feel that that's much better for getting some focus and sort of completing a body of work, if you like, with a season?
Yep, I would say that definitely it does. You know, I think that, like you said, going at it hard for a couple of months and staying focused and on track with a particular set of topics, then having a breather while they're all being released onto the iTunes is a good approach. Whereas, you know, I'm sure we probably could do a podcast every week or one a month, you know, consistently. However, I think that the focused approach is probably better, and it allows us to maybe do our topics in different stages rather than just a complete scattergun approach of Simon and I coming in here and talking nonsense for 10 minutes and then moving on.
How much time does the podcast sort of cost you, if you like, outside of coming in here to record?
Not a lot of time at all, Matthew. You know, this one, the latest one that we recorded when we came into your studio, we came in on a Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock. You know, we wrote the thing at 5 o'clock last night, took about half an hour. Rough kind of idea of the bullet points that we're going to cover, and the sort of main outlays of our topics, the employment law parts of it. Then we just come in here and really put the meat on the bones to that template structure. And a lot of the time, you know, when you come in here, you end up speaking about stuff that the structure goes out the window, what you've roughly thought you might say, which is, I don't know, do you think that's probably a good thing if it's maybe more natural that way as well?
Yeah. Sounds, you know, conversational rather than like stilted.
So the short answer to your question is hardly any time outside of coming into the studio to record it, which is great.
Of course, it helps when you've got a handsome and talented producer that you could outsource the
absolutely, absolutely. That, I mean, you know, we'd be lost in the woods. I've not met him either. I'm waiting on him. It's, I don't know where he is, but oh well.
So just to wrap us up then, what would your advice be for someone listening to this who is maybe in the same position as you guys were before you'd started? They're thinking about doing a podcast, maybe their business is a bit more a sort of tangible physical business and they've got some doubts. What would be some of your top tips for that person?
My first top tip would be go for it, you know, dip your toes in the water and if you don't shoot, you don't score. We've found it to be a great exercise. You know, even if you're a tangible business, all businesses that rely on people. And I think a podcast's a great way for people to see that you're just people, you know, they get a flavour of what your personality is like. You can speak a bit about your business, so potentially it can be used as a marketing advertising tool. And certainly, whilst our slots are meant to be educational as well, we have done it with the mindset of trying to generate business and Twitter followers and things, and we've had great success. So I would absolutely say go for it. You know, there's nothing to lose. If you get on with your colleagues, you'll probably have a bit of fun doing it as well.
Well, there you go then. What are you waiting for?
Exactly.
Just in closing then, where can we find the podcast online?
Well, our podcast, you can find it on iTunes. You'll probably also find it on the Blackadder's website, blackadders.co.uk. And if you look at us on Twitter, at Employer Simon, E-M-P-L-A-W-Y-E-R, Simon, you'll see loads about the podcast on there, or the easier way to find it, hashtag EYLIP.
ELIP.
ELIP, employment lawyer in your pocket.
Okay, Jack, thank you very much for speaking to me.
No bother at all, Matthew. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Cheers.